This is HPR episode 2172 entitled Dutch Lips Tabletop Game. It is hosted by Steve Sainer and is about 26 minutes long. The summary is, Steve describes the game of Dutch Lips.
This episode of HPR is brought to you by anhonesthost.com. Get 15% discount on all shared hosting with the offer code HPR15. That's HPR15. Better web hosting that's honest and fair at anhonesthost.com.
Hello, Hacker Public Radio. My name is Steve. Like many of you, I have been listening with interest to the series on tabletop gaming that Klaatu has been doing. It's been interesting to me because I did grow up playing quite a few games with the family, both the immediate family and extended family, and also in various social functions. So it's kind of interesting, some of the perspectives that Klaatu has given in how he is kind of being introduced to tabletop gaming. The most recent episode on Skipbo was kind of interesting because that is actually a game that I have played before a few times. And it got me to thinking a little bit about some of the games that I used to play growing up. And one in particular kind of stands out as being a favorite, but also unique enough that perhaps not everybody here has heard about that. And the name of that game is Dutch Blitz. Now, unlike Skipbo, one of Klaatu's kind of critiques of Skipbo is that there was no theme whatsoever. I mean, just generic cards. Dutch Blitz does have a theme to it, at least in terms of the design of the cards and the box and everything that you get. The theme doesn't necessarily relate too much to the gameplay, but you know there is something there. So Dutch Blitz was created, as I understand it, in about 1959 by a guy by the name of Werner Ernst George Mueller, and he was from Pennsylvania in the United States. Now, the game is similar to a game called Nerds, which is played with standard playing cards. And I understand that Nerds had been around since the 1940s. And it's not totally clear to me to what extent Mr. Mueller was influenced by that game. It very possibly was. Although another website I found said that he was an optometrist, and it said that he thought that the game that he created might be useful in helping his children learn about colors and numbers. Well, the game spread quite rapidly in the eastern Pennsylvania area, and the culture that this game was created in is something called Pennsylvania Dutch. And the Pennsylvania Dutch is made up of early German immigrants that immigrated to the United States as early as the late 1700s, I believe, through like the late 1800s, somewhere in that time frame. And a lot of them moved to the eastern Pennsylvania area in the United States. Now, Dutch is a little bit of a misnomer. A lot of times you might think of Dutch as the people from Holland or the Netherlands. From what I understand, Dutch in the sense of Pennsylvania Dutch is actually a corruption of the word Deutsch, which of course is German. And so they didn't come from the Netherlands area. They came from parts of Germany. And, of course, the United States has a lot of immigrants that came from German areas and other European areas there. And my family actually has roots in that kind of culture as well. Not exactly Pennsylvania Dutch. My family were among the Mennonites that emigrated to the United to various places in the United States. In my case, they came to the central Kansas area. And, of course, Mennonite is a, you know, a Protestant Christian faith. And many of those immigrants came over because they felt like they were being persecuted for their faith. And so that's my history as well. So the design of this game has, you know, kind of symbols and concepts and terminology that is in line with that culture. It tends to be agricultural in nature, and it does tend to have, you know, a strong Christian faith built into it as well. A lot of people have heard of the Amish or of like old order type conservative groups. That's the type of groups that we're talking about here. And so the one of the things that's sort of interesting, and perhaps one of the reasons that he came up with this game, is in those cultures, it was very taboo to use standard playing cards. Basically, playing cards represented to them, it represented gambling, and gambling was considered to be, you know, a bad thing. And so it was very taboo to play games with standard playing cards. And so, you know, one of the things that Mr. Mueller may have done is he may have learned about this game called Nerds and then, you know, built his own version of it using his own cards design that would be more palatable to the people of that culture. Now, this game became very popular in that area. And then it also spread then to many of the other similar, you know, German immigrant cultures throughout the United States. And it was a game that, I don't know, kind of could be associated with, our heritage to a certain extent. And growing up, it was something that was played quite frequently at various kinds of church functions and retreats and so on. And my mom in particular loved the game. She played it with her women friends a lot. But it wasn't, you know, only the women that played it. The men would too on occasion as well. So anyways, let me go ahead and describe what the game kind of looks like and how it's set up. The standard set has four decks of cards, and each player gets their own deck, so it can accommodate 2 to 4 players. I understand there's an extension pack that you can get that adds 4 more decks, so that would support up to 8 players. However, I have never played with more than 4. Each deck has 40 cards in it, and those cards are made up of numbers from 1 through 10, in 4 different colors. Now, the colors are sort of analogous to the suits that you're familiar with on playing cards. So you got 4 colors, 1 through 10 in each color. And those colors are red, blue, green, and yellow. Now, additionally, the red and blue cards have a picture of a boy on them. Actually, on each corner, all 4 corners of the card, there's a little picture of a boy. And it kind of looks like a little Amish boy, if that means anything to you. And the red and blue cards have the boy. The green and yellow cards have a little girl. A little girl in a bonnet and a dress, kind of an Amish girl look to it. And those are sort of analogous to, you know, the red cards versus the black cards in a standard playing set, a standard deck of cards. Now, each of these 4 decks are identical in terms of the the face of the cards, the colors and the numbers and all of that. They are differentiated, however, on the back of each card in each deck. There is a symbol to differentiate one deck from another. And those symbols are as follows. One deck has blue plows, and by plow I mean like the old horse-drawn plow, that kind of a shape. Another deck has green pumps, and by pump I mean like a hand water pump, water well pump. Another deck has a red-colored buggy, like a horse-drawn buggy. And then the fourth one is a yellow bucket, like a wooden bucket that would be used to carry water. So you can see, you know, the images from the time and the culture and the history in which this game was created. Otherwise, you know, the colors are very bright. The face of the cards are very bright colors. The font of the numbers is sort of a, I don't know, I would call it kind of a gothic type of a font, which I don't know if that's really related to the culture in which this game was done, but nonetheless, it kind of has an old feel to it, I guess, or something like that. And then the middle of the card is sort of just a design pattern that is kind of a quilt patch looking pattern, which of course is also indicative of that culture in which the game was created. So each player gets their own deck of card, either pump, buggy, plow, or bucket. To start the game, or to set up the game, you have to form a number of piles. And again, the names of these piles sort of are thematic in a way as well. First of all, what you do is each player shuffles their own deck, and you're supposed to shuffle it, you know, quite well. You hold the deck then with the card faces down, so you don't know what cards you're dealing, and you deal for yourself 10 cards in front of you. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, and then you flip that whole stack over. So you can now see the topmost face card in that stack. That is called your blitz pile. And one of the goals of the game is to get rid of your blitz pile, get rid of those 10 cards. So once you have the blitz pile, you then deal 3 more cards, one after another, and flip them right side up, face up, and you set them in 3 piles, if you will, to the left of the blitz pile. So you've got a pile of 10 cards, which is the blitz pile. To the left of that are 3 more cards in a row, and these are what are referred to as the post piles. And I'll get to what those are used for in just a little bit. So then you have the rest of your deck in your hand. Now, when gameplay starts, what you do is, well, it's kind of complicated how to explain it, but so any player that has a playable card that is a 1, the number 1 of any color, and by playable cards I mean the top card on any of your post piles, or the top card on your blitz pile is playable. As well as you are playing the game, let me back up a second. As you're playing the game, you're going to rotate through your deck by taking 3 cards upside down. You say they're still upside down, face down. You take 3 cards and then flip them over, and you set them on a pile. That's called your wood pile. And so the top card that is showing there, as well as the top card of the 3 post piles and the top card of the blitz pile, any of those are playable. If you don't have any playable card, you take 3 more cards off of your deck, flip them over, and put them on top of the wood pile and just keep doing that. When you get to the end of your deck, you take that wood pile, flip it upside down again, and then start doing it again. Three cards, flip. Three cards, flip. Three cards, flip. Until you have a card that is playable. Now, if you've ever played various versions of the game Solitaire with regular playing cards, all of this is going to sound quite familiar because it is almost the same mechanic as several different Solitaire games like Klondike and several others, where you take, you shuffle through your deck, flipping three cards, flip them over until you have a card that you can play. Now, how do you play? How do you play the cards? Well, one of the things that you want to do is play cards out in the middle of the table on piles that are called Dutch piles. And as I started to say earlier, as soon as a player has a number one card of any color, they can play that card out in the middle of the table and start what's called a Dutch pile. Okay? And then additional cards can be added to those Dutch piles in sequential orders and in sequential order and maintaining the same color. So if I put out a yellow 1, I can then play a yellow 2 on top of that, and then a yellow 3, and a yellow 4, and so on, all the way up to 10. And again, that's similar to Solitaire games as well. Now, the Dutch piles, however, are communal. Any player can play on any other Dutch pile. So if I put out a 1, a yellow 1, and somebody else has a yellow 2, they can play on that pile. It's not my pile, per se. So that's one of the things, one of the ways I can play a card. Another way I can play a card is on the post piles, the three post piles. We kind of call it build down. So if, this is similar to Solitaire. So if one of my piles, one of my post piles has, say, a 5 on it, I can then play a 4, and then a 3, and then a 2, and I can kind of build that pile down if I want to. Now, that you have to go in decreasing number, so 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, but you also have to alternate boy, girl. So if I have, say, a 5 blue, a blue 5, which is a boy card, I can play a 4 on it, but it would have to be either a green or a yellow, which is a girl card. And then on top of that, I could put like a red or blue, i.e. boy, 3, and then so on. And part of the whole point of those piles is just to kind of be able to sort through things. It gives you a mechanism by which you can kind of, shuffle cards around. Now, if you can play one of the topmost card of your blitz pile, then that's of primary importance. You want to play that card. And you can play that card by either putting it on a Dutch pile out in the middle of the table, or you can play it on one of the post piles. And that's a way to get a card off of the blitz piles, to move it over to the post piles. So one of the strategies is, say I have, a green 6 on my blitz pile, and I can't play it anywhere yet. But I notice that I have, say, a yellow 8 on one of my post piles. If I can find, a red 7 that I can put on there, then I can move my green 6 over to the, what was it, red or blue 7. And so I'm building down my post piles, I'm alternating boy and girl, and that's one of the ways I can get rid of cards on my blitz pile. If I can't do any of that kind of action, then I just keep shuffling through my deck and adding to the wood pile, and then hopefully a card comes up that I can then play either on a Dutch pile, on a post pile to help me get rid of my 10 cards in the blitz pile. That's basically the mechanic. Now, here's what's really interesting about the game and what makes it fun. So far, all this would really be is a solitaire game, you know, four players all playing the same solitaire game. But what makes it fun is that you don't take turns. Everybody is doing what I just described at the same time as fast as they can. And so, you know, once you get your, you know, your piles set up, you're ready to go, somebody says go, and everybody starts going. And, you know, you're shuffling through cards as fast as you can. You're moving cards around. You know, you're moving cards to your, you know, your post piles, trying to figure out a way to get rid of the top card on your blitz pile. As soon as that one's gone, now you have a completely different card, and you have to figure out how to get rid of it. And it's a very fast-paced game. The fact that the Dutch piles out in the middle of the table are communal means that it very often comes up that, you know, two or more players have the same number of the same color of card that they can play. And so, you know, they're waiting for a Dutch pile to get to the point where they can play that card. Well, as soon as that becomes available, everybody goes to try to play that card, and only one of them can play it. Whoever gets there first, you know, gets it. Everybody else, they have to take their card back and continue on. And the game goes until one player completely clears off their 10 cards in the blitz pile, at which point they yell out, "Blitz!" And at that point, all play must stop. So what you do then is you sort through everybody sorts through all of the cards that make up the Dutch piles out in the middle of the table. Basically, flip them all over and you sort them into their you know, deck symbols: the plow, the pump, the buggy, the bucket. And you know, each person takes their cards that were out there and they count them up. You then subtract two times the number of cards you have left in your blitz pile. Of course, the person that went blitz, they don't have any in their blitz pile, so they count their cards out in the Dutch piles, and then that's their score. Other players that still have cards there, you count your cards that you got out in the Dutch pile, you subtract two times what you have left in the blitz pile, that's your score. And so, usually the game is played in, you know, many rounds. And you, like, add up your scores as you go on. So this is my score for this round. So then we, you know, shuffle all the decks again, start over, play another round, you know, add up the scores. And, you know, we used to, like, decide on a target, like, you know, say 500 points or whatever, and we would play until somebody has reached 500 points. Another way you could do it is say, okay, we're going to play 10 rounds, and whoever has the most points at the end of the 10 rounds, you know, might win. Or there's different ways you could do that. And I believe the instructions kind of give you some suggestions on that. But that's really the dynamic. And What makes it fun is the fast-paced aspect of it, that you're racing the other players to get rid of your cards and to get as many cards out on the Dutch pile. So I should say this, you know, the objective is on one hand to get rid of your blitz pile, because once you do, you can call blitz and you won't have any subtraction to your points. But really, the other part of the objective is to get as many cards out on the Dutch piles as you possibly can, because that, you know, obviously affects your score as well. And so there's sort of a balance there. And, you know, it is actually a fairly good game for, like, eye-hand coordination, because, you know, you got to kind of have a peripheral vision. You got to have a view of what's going on the Dutch piles out there, so that as soon as something comes up that you can play a card on, you know, you can do that as quickly as possible. But then you're also got to pay attention to what you got going on in front of you with your Dutch pile or your Blitz pile and your post piles. And, you know, as you're doing this, you're shuffling through your deck three at a time and trying to come up with a number that allows you to, you know, shuffle things around. And that's how it works. So, in the show notes, I've put some URLs for the official Dutch Blitz website, as well as a Wikipedia page that kind of describes the game, and a couple others as well. Now, it used to be, like I said, that the game was kind of hard to come by. You'd have to kind of go to certain bookstores and things like that. Now, on the internet, you know, it's easy to find on Amazon or eBay or, you know, all sorts of different places. And while, you know, when I was growing up, this was a very popular game, you know, in our little society, kind of where I grew up, and in others like it, but it has spread beyond that a lot. And there's a lot of people that have played it and know the game and enjoy it as well. So I think that's my best attempt at describing the game of Dutch Blitz. Hope it was interesting to those of you that enjoy games, and it might be one that you want to take a look at. With that, I will sign out for this episode and hope to hear some more about games, more games from either Klaatu or somebody else out there that has an interesting game. Go ahead and make an episode about it. So for HPR, this is Steve saying good day.
You've been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by an HPR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club and is part of the binary revolution at binrev.com. If you have comments on today's show, please email the host directly, leave a comment on the website, or record a follow-up episode yourself. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution ShareAlike 3.0 license.